Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is Dan Trotter, Pretty Good Bible Studies. Today we're going to cover a short psalm, Psalm 26, which the Holman Christian Study Bible title names David Prays for Vindication. The ESV title is I Will Bless the Lord. I like David Prays for Vindication more because that's more to the point of what the theme of the psalm is. The heading of the psalm is very simple. It just says, of David. So we will assume this is the 25th straight psalm of David, starting with chapter 2 all the way up to chapter 26. We begin now in Psalms 26, 1 through 3. Vindicate me, O Lord, David says to God, for I have walked in my integrity, and I have trusted in the Lord without wavering. Examine me, O Lord, and try me. Test my mind and my heart. For your loving kindness is before my eyes, and I have walked in your truth. Now, this is one of those psalms that David writes that makes him sound self-righteous. I mentioned the problem of self-righteousness in the psalms in the audio covering Psalm chapter 1 and the introduction. And of course, the answer to that is David often said he was a sinner. Psalm 51 is the classic example, but we've already gone through several psalms where David talks about his great sin. So how do you reconcile those two things? Well, David didn't think he was free from sin. What he's talking about is the integrity of the particular thing of which he's being accused right now. He's innocent of one sin, not every sin that possibly could be committed. This is what John Gill says, and I think he's exactly right. Now, for example, Saul unjustly and unrighteously accused David of sedition and all kinds of things that David was innocent of, and so he was walking in his integrity with regard to the accusations of Saul. Here's what Adam Clark says, quote, there are so many strong assertions in this psalm concerning the innocence and uprightness of its author that many suppose he wrote it to vindicate himself from some severe reflections on his conduct or accusations relative to plots, conspiracies, etc. This seems to render the opinion probably that attributes it to David during his exile when all manner of false accusations were brought against him at the court of Saul. And I think that makes a lot of sense. David is running from Saul. He's accused of sedition, and he wasn't guilty of that. And so David is saying, God, listen, I'm not trying to take over Saul's kingdom. I am walking in my integrity. And meanwhile, while I am out here in the desert, in the wilderness, running from Saul, in the land of the Philistines, running from Saul, I have trusted in you, Yahweh, without wavering. My faith has never wavered. And that's true, because David went through some very bad times, and he managed to survive. And so then David says in verse 2, examine me, Lord, and try me. Now, try means to test, and that's the sense of not to aggravate, but to prove, as you prove that silver is pure by melting it down and seeing if any base metal comes out of it. And if there's no base metal, you know you've got pure silver or pure gold. And so that's basically what David is saying to God. Melt me down, God, and you will not see any sin. Test my mind and my heart. Of course, those are two expressions for the immaterial part of man, his soul. That's the part of man that sins. Your body doesn't sin. Your soul does. Test me. And David's confident. He's very confident. I didn't do it. I didn't do what Saul's accusing me of. Verse 3, David says, for your loving kindness is before my eyes, and I have walked in your truth. We go now to Psalms 26, verses 4 through 8. David continues speaking to God. I do not sit with deceitful men, nor will I go with pretenders. In other words, I'm not guilty of any conspiracy against Saul. David says he will not go with pretenders. That's the New American Standard Bible translation. The NIV translates the word as hypocrites. I will not go with hypocrites. Adam Clark says the word refers to political conspirators, which fits with our supposed theme here of David running from Saul. David says, I'm not going to sit with political conspirators, pretenders who smile at Saul and pretend that they're loyal, but they're not. They're plotting rebellion. I'm not going to do that. Verse 5, David says, I hate the assembly of evildoers, and I will not sit with the wicked. Now, David doesn't mean he's not going to sit down with sinners. At some point, if you're in the court of Saul, you're going to have to sit down with people who want to see Saul done away with. It's not talking about merely physically sitting down with someone, the physical act of sitting. It's not talking about that. It means joining sinners in their sinful schemes and their plots and their conspiracies. David says, I didn't do that. Verse 6, I shall wash my hands in innocence. Now, washing one's hands was a typical symbolic gesture of the Jews to show innocence. So David is not merely saying, I'm going to wash my hands so I can eat, so I can get my hands clean. He's making a symbolic, poetic reference to a symbol that was often used in Jewish society to show that people were innocent. And of course, we recall Pilate doing that same thing when he wanted to show himself innocent for killing Jesus. Now, I'm assuming Pilate got the idea from the Jews since he was living amongst the Jews. I don't know if the Romans did this too, but Pilate did it in Matthew 27, verse 24. When Pilate saw that he was accomplishing nothing, but rather that a riot was starting, he took water and washed his hands in front of the crowd, saying, I am innocent of this man's blood. See to that yourselves. Kill him yourselves. I'm not going to do it. Well, yes, he did do it. He could have sprung Jesus, but he didn't. And so washing his hands didn't make him innocent. It just made him claim to be innocent. So David says, I shall wash my hands in innocence. I shall wash my hands in innocence, and I will go about your altar, O Lord. What does it mean to go about the altar? Well, now David is comparing himself to a priest. A priest went around the altar to do the divine service. The divine service would be doing things like laying a sacrifice on the altar, then tying the sacrifice to the horns of the altar, then slaughtering the animal, and then collecting the blood in a basin, and maybe pouring out the blood at the base of the altar, then taking the blood and sprinkling it on the veil or wherever he was supposed to sprinkle it, that kind of stuff. And so the altar is put as a symbol for all of the divine service. So when David says, I will go about your altar, he's saying, I will perform the work of a priest, even though he's not a priest. This is not meant to be taken literally. It's poetic. I will go about your altar, O Lord, like a priest serving you. Verse 7, that I may proclaim with the voice of thanksgiving and declare all your wonders. So David in verse 7, instead of offering an animal like a priest would do, he's offering a sacrifice of praise. He's offering praise as his sacrifices, the voice of thanksgiving. And he says at the end of verse 7, David does, he says, I declare all your wonders. Well, what wonders would that be? For example, wonders of creation, the stars, the heavenly bodies, God's wonders in history, redemption history in particular, leading the Israelites out of Egypt on the Exodus. So David is taking time to praise God in the midst of his troubles, running from Saul. We assume he's running from Saul. I know that's a speculation, but it's reasonable. And David in verse 8 says, O Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells. Now, that's the NASB translation, the habitation of your house, which is, as usual, confusing in the NASB. So let's read Psalm 26, verse 8 in the Holman Christian Study Bible. David says, Lord, I love the house where you dwell, the place where your glory resides. Well, what house is David referring to? Probably the tabernacle that he built in Jerusalem as a home for the ark, which he was bringing back from Kiriath-Jearim after its lonely sojourn with the Philistines. We'll call that tabernacle David's tabernacle. He left the original tabernacle, which had moved all over Israel, from Gilgal to Shiloh, into the Philistine territory, back into some Israelite cities before it ended up at Gibeon. So this is David's tabernacle, the place he built. It's not the temple, because the temple has not been built yet. That was not built until David's son Solomon built it. But the temple was a pattern, a template for the temple. The idea is there's a place where God dwells. That's what the word temple means. And of course, we're not talking temple here. It's house. Well, it's the same thing. It's where God dwells. The house where you dwell is a tabernacle or a temple. David says, I love that. Why does he love it? Well, he doesn't love the physical place, the molecules that make up the physical structure. He loves the place because God dwells there. That's the place where God's glory resides. David says to the Lord, that's where your glory resides. Now, if you recall, when the tabernacle was set up in the wilderness at Mount Sinai, the Shekinah glory of God filled it. Also, when Solomon built the temple later than David, the Shekinah glory of God filled it. So the Shekinah glory, the presence of the Lord, that shows that God is present, that bright, burning light. That's how God manifested himself to his people. And so that's what David is referring to here, the place where your glory, i.e. your Shekinah glory, where it resides. Now, what does glory mean? I have a short and easy definition of glory, the manifest presence of God. Manifest because you see it, presence because God is there. We go now to Psalms 26, verses 9 through 12, and we will finish this psalm. David continues praying to the Lord. He says, Do not take my soul away along with sinners, nor my life with men of bloodshed, in whose hands is a wicked scheme, and whose right hand is full of bribes. from that verse, we can see that David is probably talking about conspirators, people who bribe to get other conspirators to come along. Let's bribe this official, let's bribe that official. Sounds like the people who run the American government, a bunch of corruptocrats, a bunch of evil men who are now corrupting the FBI, the CIA, the CDC, the FDA, the American government, the White House, the Congress, the Senate. Their right hand is full of bribes. In their hands is a wicked scheme. David doesn't have anything to do with these people. Now, in verse 9, David says, "Do not take my soul away along with sinners." The soul there is probably referring to the immaterial part of David, not his whole person. The soul, that word can be used in two different senses. Here he's probably talking about his soul after he dies, because sinners is a reference to sinners being taken away to death, to be executed, as Gill, Clark, and Jameson, Foss, and Brown all agree. And so David is saying, don't let me be executed for rebelling against Saul. Don't let me spend an eternity with sinners, men of bloodshed, who are going to be spending their lives in hell, separated from the love of God. Now, of course, David assumed that God was going to answer that prayer in the affirmative. No, I'm not going to take your soul away, David. Verse 11, David says, "But as for me, I shall walk in my integrity." That means lead a blameless life, more particularly with regard to his attitude toward Saul. Remember, David twice spared Saul's life when David was trying to kill him. David did walk in integrity. He wasn't a rebel. He was not a conspirator against Saul. So he's talking about integrity in a particular instance, not in the sense of sinless perfection, as I've said before. And then David says, "Redeem me." That refers to the act of buying someone out of slavery, either slavery to a creditor or, I say slavery, let's say bondage to a creditor, or actual slavery where your person is in bondage to a slave owner. And of course, you could redeem slaves out of their bondage. In fact, you had to in the law. If somebody wanted to buy you out, you redeemed the slave and you were bought out of slavery. And so that is a symbol of, God, please deliver me. Get me out of this mess of these accusations. Redeem me. Be gracious to me. Give me your unmerited favor. Verse 12, "My foot stands on a level place." Now, that level place could just be a reference to a place of confidence and security where one does not trip or fall over temptations or evil, or even stumble as you're trying to defend yourself against your enemies. You don't trip. You're firm. Nobody's going to knock you over. It could mean that, just a general metaphor for a place of confidence and security, but it also could refer to a level courtyard where the godly had gathered together to praise the Lord. So David is saying here, my foot stands on a level place because I'm getting ready to praise the Lord in the congregation. This is the NIV Study Bible suggestion, and it fits in right well with the end of verse 12, because David finishes off the psalm by saying, "In the congregations I shall bless the Lord." So using Hebrew parallelism here, my foot stands on a level place. And then in parallel with level place is in the congregations. So the level place is where the congregations gather to praise the Lord. So I think the NIV Study Bible is correctly. Now, the verse 12 does not say, "I shall praise the Lord." It says, "I shall bless the Lord," which is a synonym. The interesting thing about the word bless, it has two meanings depending on who is giving the blessing and who is being blessed. For example, if God blesses his people, God gives his people something good. But if the people are blessing God in reverse, that means that God's people are praising God. God's people can't give anything God good. You ever tried to give a present to somebody who has everything? Try giving something to God. He's got everything already. So when we say we bless God, we're not giving him anything. We're praising God. So ladies and gentlemen, we have now finished Psalms chapter 26, verses 1 through 12. And that prepares us to go to our next audio covering Psalms 27, verses 1 through 14. We will call that psalm, "The Lord is My Light and My Salvation." I hope you stay tuned for that psalm, and I hope you enjoyed this one.